We are glad that you're here this morning, and we hope that this lesson will be a benefit. We're going to begin with Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Notice that Paul says that the things that were written aforetime, in this particular passage, he's talking about those things that were written in the Old Testament. They are written for our learning. That being the case, we want to take you back to an Old Testament text, 2 Samuel chapter 9. In this particular text, we have a very interesting reading and a very interesting meeting between two individuals. This chapter begins with verse 1, and it says, "And David said, Is there yet still anyone from the house of Saul that I may show him the kindness of for Jonathan's sake?" Notice that David wanted to extend kindness to someone, and he was doing so for Jonathan's sake. This particular passage goes all the way back to 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, verses 14 and 15. For it is there that Jonathan and David make a covenant, one with another. And a part of that covenant was that David would show kindness not only to Jonathan while he was alive, but also unto my house forever, even after the enemies of David have been cut off from the face of the earth. David is now honoring that covenant. David is now still remembering the promise that he swore unto his friend many, many years prior to this particular time. David is a man of integrity. David is a man of honesty. And David wants to do what is right. Is there anyone from the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? When you turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 9, the story there is very, very simple. A servant of David's by the name of Ziba knew that there was a descendant of Saul's still alive. A young man by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is now brought into the presence of David, and David blesses this young man immensely. In fact, he gives him a portion of Saul's inheritance from times past. And he allows Mephibosheth to sit at his table until Mephibosheth draws his last breath. What a blessing. Now, there are many lessons in this chapter for us today. Remember, the things written aforetime are written for our learning. So what we want to do is take this chapter and the things that are found therein and make some lessons for ourselves today. The first lesson that we want to discuss is this. Jesus Christ stands in the place of King David. At the time when 2 Samuel was penned, or at least when the events of this chapter happened, all of David's enemies had perished. All of them were now gone. David had been exalted to the throne of Israel. Now he was the king in like manner. Jesus Christ today is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is reigning not over physical Israel, but he is reigning presently over spiritual Israel. Listen to what Peter said on the days of Pentecost. Moreover, brethren, let me speak unto you freely of the patriarch David. For he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher remaineth unto this day. Therefore he, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath unto him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, now listen, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. My friends, Jesus right now, according to Acts 2, 29 and 30, is sitting upon his throne, reigning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1 Timothy 6, 15 says, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now here's the interesting thing. This king still wants to show and has shown kindness to humanity. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. So here we have a king showing kindness unto an individual. And today we still have a spiritual king, Jesus Christ, desiring to show kindness to humanity. Lesson number 2. Mephibosheth represents humanity. There are two interesting things about Mephibosheth. Number one, Mephibosheth was a descendant of King Saul. In other words, Mephibosheth was a direct descendant of the enemy of David. My friends, you and I, all humanity, eventually made themselves descendants of the adversary of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, did they not? I find it interesting in the Bible that the Jews are described as the children of Satan. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. According to Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, we find that the Gentiles were by nature the children of wrath, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, to fulfill the lust of the flesh, even the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Every human being that reaches the age of accountability, who commits sin and transgression against God, descends at that point from the adversary of the king. We are children of Satan, just as Mephibosheth was a child of the adversary of David. But there's another interesting point about this Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was also a man who was lame in his feet. When you turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4, you find that there was a time when Saul's household was being stormed. And when that household was being stormed by an enemy, this nurse grabbed up the little baby Mephibosheth, and as she was running, she fell. And when she fell, Mephibosheth was wounded and injured and remained lame at his feet from then on. My friends, you and I are just as lame as Mephibosheth, are we not? Maybe not physically, we have no ailments, but spiritually, our inner man has been wounded. Our inner man has been lamed through the process of sin and iniquity. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are together gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. My friends, you and I are lame in sin and in iniquity. Isn't that where humanity falls? We are enemies of God, and we are lame as far as our inner man is concerned because of sin having wounded us. We are much like Mephibosheth. Point number 3. Mephibosheth was worthy of death. In Oriental times, when a new king assumed the throne, guess what happened to the descendants of the old king? They were rounded up, and every one of them were slaughtered, especially the male descendants. They wanted no insurrection. They wanted no rebellion. They didn't want someone else coming along later causing problems. So you slay all the descendants of that old king. Why? Because they are your enemy. That's why. Now, David finds out about Mephibosheth. Who is he? He's a descendant of Saul. Ziba goes and he gets Mephibosheth. He brings Mephibosheth in before David. And guess what's going on with Mephibosheth? He is literally trembling in the presence of the king. Why? He knows death could be imminent. My friends, you and I are worthy of death. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6 verse 23 declares, for the wages of sin is death. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You and I are worthy of death. Why? Because of our sins. Because we're enemies of God. Because we violated the scriptures. Because we are not righteous. Because we are a wicked people. That's why. Worthy of death. Point number 4. Don't you find it interesting that it was David who sought out Mephibosheth? That's interesting, isn't it? Now remember, David stands in the place of who? He's standing in the place of Jesus Christ. He's standing in the place of God Almighty. It's David who wants to know, where is Saul's descendants? Where is he? And it is David who rounds him up and brings him back in. My friends, it is not us, wicked, lost humanity, who went seeking after God. It was God who came seeking after us, isn't it? Write down this passage, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 16. God is speaking and he says this, I will seek that which was lost. I will bring back that which was driven away. I will bind up that which was broken. And I will strengthen that which was sick. Folks, who's doing the seeking? Who's doing the going? Who's the one trying to bring individuals back? It's not man running to God saying, God, take me, take me. Oh no, it's God who's going and saying, please, please come back. We all are familiar, aren't we, with Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here mankind was in iniquity. Here mankind was in all of his transgressions. And what does God do? God becomes flesh and he searches out all of humanity trying to bring them back. Notice that he says, I came to seek that which was lost. Not man seeking God. The Bible says all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Did you hear what the text said? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to him. Folks, God didn't want to slay us. God didn't want to kill us. God didn't want to execute the sentence of death. God wanted us back. He wanted us in a right relationship with him. He wanted us reconciled. He wanted us friendly again. And he did everything he possibly could to make that come to pass through Jesus Christ our Lord. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. We did nothing to get back to God. It was God seeking after us. Point number 5. David extends mercy and grace and kindness to Mephibosheth. Remember what we said a while ago? When Mephibosheth was standing there before that king, he was trembling in his presence. This may be the last day that I live. He may be about to execute me. He may be about to slay me. It might be time for my head to be chopped off. I'm scared to death. And David speaks unto him in verse 7 and says, fear not, for I will show unto thee the kindness of Jonathan thy father. Here is David extending grace and mercy to an enemy of days gone by. Isn't that exactly what God has done on our behalf? My friend, you and I were worthy of death. We had sinned. We had violated the will of God. We were worthy of death. And what did God do? He seeks us out, not to slay us, but to save us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3, 23 and 24. Isn't that interesting? All have sinned. But what did God do? God wants to justify us by His grace through the death of Jesus Christ. He wants to save us. He wants us to have grace and mercy. Listen to what Paul writes to Titus in Titus 3, verses 4 through 6. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He hath shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. It is the mercy of God. It is the grace of God. It is the love of God. It is the kindness of God that enables us to be saved from our sins. We ought to stand before the very presence of the Almighty God, trembling as Mephibosheth does. But yet, when we approach Him, God says, "Fear not, for I will show you kindness." What a blessing, folks. What a blessing. Point number 6. Mephibosheth received untold blessings from David. There's 3 of them that are there within that text. Number 1, Mephibosheth was exalted again, watch this, to a place of royalty. Isn't that something? His father had been king in times past, but his father was dead. He was deserving of death, but what did David do? David lifted him up to the very position of royalty himself. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Here we were, sinners, enemies of God. Children of wrath, children of the devil. And what has God done? God has lifted us to positions of royalty, a royal priesthood. Number 2, David allowed Mephibosheth to eat at his banquet table every day of his life. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody coming to us and say, "Hey, the President of the United States has invited you to the White House, and every meal you will eat at his table." What a blessing. Well, guess what? My friends, you and I have been invited to the banquet table of the Son of God. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which made a great supper and bad many. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. You read that text and you're going to find that he went out and he invited some to come. And guess what they did? They made excuse. "Oh no, I can't go for this reason. Oh no, I can't go for that reason. Oh no, something is up and I can't go." The servant comes back and he tells the Lord, he says, "They won't come. I can't get anybody to come." And the Lord is angry. He says, "Go out into the highways and into the streets of the city and bid," listen to him, "the halt and the blind and the maimed and the sick to come to my table." My friends, that's us. When you and I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, He invites us to come and sit around the banquet table of the King. What a blessing. The third blessing. Ziba had been hit out in Lodebar for years and years, scared of the king. Can you imagine such an existence? Just staying in a house, staying around maybe the front yard of that house, not going very far, lest they know that I exist and I'm killed. He owns nothing. David calls him in and he says, "Who are you? I'm Mephibosheth. I'm the grandson of Saul. I am the son of Jonathan." And David says, "You can have the entirety of your father's inheritance back again. Acres and acres of land. A mansion built just for you." Jesus says, "For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." John 14, 2 and 3. Guess what? We have an inheritance waiting us. It's reserved in heaven for each one of us. Folks, we have exactly what Mephibosheth was given physically in the spiritual realm, don't we? I'm royalty. I sit at the king's table, and I have an inheritance waiting on me in the hereafter. What a blessing.
Amen.
I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to ask yourself a question. It's a what if. What if? Just what if? David had brought Mephibosheth in, extended unto him all of this grace and kindness, all of these blessings, and Mephibosheth would have looked David square in the eye and he would have said something like this: "Nah, I'm not interested. Don't want it." Could you imagine an individual turning down those kind of blessings? What if you'd been a little fly on the wall and you heard Mephibosheth say, "Oh no, I don't need any of that junk"? I know what we would have thought, wouldn't we? How foolish. How foolish. And yet, there is the King of Kings who has sought lost humanity out and wants to extend unto him blessings untold. And there are members of our society who will look that king in the eye and tell him, "I want no part of it." Maybe there's some in here who've done that very thing. My friend, I will assure you, in the last day, you will know how foolish that kind of a decision is. Our King stands before us, having sought us out, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11, verse 28. Won't you come this morning? His blessings are untold. David's blessings to Mephibosheth pale in comparison to the blessings God has for us, my friends, in the spiritual realm. Have you not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? His blood's been shed. Now all you must do is meet the qualifications. If you believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of sins, confess his precious name, you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of those sins. Folks, there's no work in that. There's no effort in that. None whatsoever. It is faith expressing itself before God Almighty. Won't you do that this morning? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, 16. Dear Christian, have you turned from those blessings that God has bestowed upon us? Have we ceased feasting around the banquet table? Can we no longer look forward to that eternal inheritance? Maybe you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?